Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor. Hello and welcome to DNF1. Cool. Welcome to the British Grand Prix, a second weekend. This is the 70th anniversary and it is round 5 of the World Championship. So, Derek, how was the racing today? Or should we just forget about all of that?
No, the racing was good.
The practice, the P1, P2.
Racing was interesting. I think we've got a good race looking forward to tomorrow. Quali will be good tomorrow.
Yeah, especially with the tyre choice. Obviously, last weekend to this weekend, they're going to step softer in the tyres, and I think that's what's going to be causing the problems. For me, personally, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, the PSI, I mean, it's about 27. 27? Yeah. 27,
yeah,
they
told
PSI.
Them increase that. Yeah.
You know, never has it been so high. Well, maybe, but you know what I mean.
Well,
the last few years.
I guess they try to protect the tyres. I mean, that's what Pirelli's telling them to do to try and get that. As for the running times today, it was still the same for Mercedes at the front. Red Bull nearly a second off, and then that. And this is the thing: the midfield battle is the exciting thing to actually watch. Because we've got to see Ferrari, McLaren, Racing Point, Renault. Are all part of that midfield battle. AlphaTauri's run about at the back, but they're close. And then you've got Haas, Williams, and Alpha, which are they're in class 4, I think. But that tyre choice is going to be so important.
The also runs.
Yeah, the tyre choice in Q2 is going to make all the difference because even the top teams, Merkel want to obviously qualify on the mediums as the fastest time, and there's got to be teams in there that think we'll just do it on softs and we'll get better track position. But if the track temperatures are going to be as high as they're saying it's going to be and the soft tyres are performing as poorly, not over one lap, but in any length of time, they're maybe getting 4 decent laps out of it and then they're going to be struggling for a bit.
Yeah.
The amount of time they'll lose, they'd be better back on the mediums.
There could be some teams that try to run on the hards. There could be, if conditions are right, there could be some teams that try to run the hard tyre in the second qualifying, you know, to be the fastest tyre the qualifier on.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, actually. Definitely, that is going to be.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that they've done it. There was question marks over, let's keep the tyre choice actually hard, medium and soft as it was last weekend. But I genuinely think it'll make a great difference to the race. Instead of just a one stop, we're going to maybe have 2 or maybe even 3 stops because these teams are going to be thinking, we don't want a puncture, don't want a repeat of last weekend.
But so, if you remember last weekend, they're sort of like saying that the hard tyre was the medium, will be the medium tyre this week. Or the hard tyre, sorry. The medium tyre last week will be the hard tyre this week.
That's correct, yeah.
So they know what they ran on that like. So maybe they're thinking, okay, we've got more PSI in it this time. We know it's a good tyre, so maybe we'll try and run on that and see where we get to through that.
Yeah, that's it. So the other thing that happened today is Sebastian Vettel, another breakdown. He's having absolutely no luck this season, let alone just at the British Grand Prix. Another engine failure from lack of running.
He went over that curb a little bit hard, and they were out with the easy grout afterwards, filling in the big crack.
All right,
not on his car, but in the track.
Jeez.
On the actual curb sort of thing. They were out. It delayed Formula 2 quali this afternoon sort of thing.
So that
makes it very interesting.
Vettel's obviously going to use that as partly the excuse. I mean, he said sorry last weekend and the team kind of defended his position by saying that he had a lack of running. Not to say that the four-time world champion and someone who's been in the sport for, what, nine seasons? 10 seasons?
Yeah, 10 seasons. But he's sort of like nailed his own coffin shut by saying, oh, well, they're giving Leclerc a better car than me, you know. I mean, it's a slippy slope when you start down that line.
Yeah, that's been used many, many a time by many team members who realise, as you said, they're on that slippery slide. Ricardo, great performance, P3. Again, it is FP1 and 2, but I think genuine pace still in the Renaults. They're in that midfield battle, and I just think then it's got to come down to drivers if there's only 0.2 a second between four teams, you know?
Yep. It's going to be very interesting what's going to happen, you know, and we shall see. We've got all this controversial stuff to talk about next, yes. I think.
Well,
and then we'll get that out of the way, and then we'll be fighting fit for the race or quali tomorrow.
Yeah, let's two other things. Obviously, Hülkenberg's back again. He's in a car that hopefully this time will actually get out. Apparently last weekend, the reason he didn't make it out of the garage was a sheared bolt within the engine. Part of the Mercedes components of the engine, a sheared bolt, they couldn't get to it, and it was completely terminal. They would have had to have actually changed the engine to get him out on the track. But still a strange one, a bolt shearing inside the engine. Still strange. It's not what you expect for the Merc engines, but I suppose these things can still happen.
Yeah.
And then the other news was Bottas has signed, obviously, for 2021. If Mercedes is still actually racing in 2021, as they dispute the financial implications of the changes that are going to happen. But again, just a one-year extension to his contract. I genuinely feel that it's right there for Russell to move into that seat come 2022.
Yes.
And once they've signed Hamilton on an extended deal, an extra 3 years or 4 years in his contract, that's what's going to happen. Then Bottas, thanks for just being the also-ran. See you later. Out the door on you.
Yeah, they'll swap him for Russell. They'll just change seats. You know, he'll go back to Williams.
So, after all of that, FP2, it's pretty much the same story we saw as last weekend. They're on softer tyres, etc., etc. And then we come to the bigger story of the weekend. This has been hanging over the sport since Austria. It was the second race in Austria. Renault put in the first appeal.
Yes, Styrian
Grand Prix. And a decision has finally been made. Racing Point were docked 15 constructors' points and they were fined £361,000 or €400,000 after being found guilty of illegally copying Mercedes parts. However, Racing Point can continue running these parts. Because when the information regarding the parts was supplied...
My first bone of contention there is they haven't copied Mercedes parts. They've taken delivery of Mercedes parts. They bought them when it was legal to buy them.
Right.
They bought them from Mercedes. They didn't copy them. Last year, under the regs, they were allowed to purchase Mercedes parts, and they did.
See,
you know, that's the brake ducts for the back and the brake ducts for the front were bought from Mercedes. They're not copies. They haven't made them themselves. They didn't have to make them themselves. They were not a listed part.
Yeah.
When they designed the engine, when they designed the car, they were not a listed part. Yes, from the start of this season, they are a listed part. Now, whether they've told them they've had these parts in, I don't know, because I haven't seen the 14-page document that they got given this morning. From
what I've read, the document kind of insinuates that Racing Point basically told the FIA, yes, we've done 90% on these components and 10% it's a Merc component. Whereas the truth is more the other way around, it's 90% a Merc component in Racing Point. Yeah. So there's a bit of issue there. But then likewise, let's be honest, the brake ducts don't make a race car faster to the extent that the other teams are trying to insinuate. You know, they've went out there and they've done everything else legally. And America said that these teams should obviously get on with it. And as we spoke just before the podcast, we've now actually got other teams involved in this. Ferrari, McLaren, Renault appeal the Racing Point fine and copying row. And let's be honest, Ferrari in their engine last season, as you mentioned. Even Red Bull's getting in on the act, who have probably flown so close to the rules with the flexi wings and various other different things. And that seems to be what Formula One's all about. Finding the loopholes and the rules.
Bending the rules. It's yes. And it seems silly that they're starting now to, he said, she said,
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a person that used to work for Racing Point, now working for Renault, giving them all the whistleblowing stuff. And you think, well, yeah, that's right. But
and what about McLaren's checkered history of getting a hold of the Ferrari dossier that got them kicked out of the championship? Hamilton kept his points, etc., but they were kicked out of the championship. So all of these teams have done dirty dealing in the past, and it's a bit of a brass neck for them to turn around and say that.
I mean, Renault are the only ones that have really ever been really heavily pulled over the coals, and you know, where Alonso's championships were just crash into that wall for us, would you mind? Yeah. You know.
Well, even going back further, Renault were using the mass dampener in the front nose of the car, and apparently at the time it was actually an Allio component that weren't using that because it was because it was a movable suspension component, but they still won championships.
The trouble is, if they start sitting in greenhouses and start throwing stones, there is going to be a lot of broken glass, and it's going to fall where it falls, and there's going to be a lot of people regretting ever crossing this line.
I think Ferrari should have kept the neck in, because the engine thing for last year.
You see, they're scared they're going to get beaten by Racing Point. They can't have them be sort of fourth in the table. No, they can't have that, you know. So they're going to say, "Oh, we need them to let us go in front of them," you know.
What was kind of interesting is that Toto Wolff and Mercedes has said these teams really should kind of get on with it, and then Red Bull said, "Well, we need to know for next year so that we can then have the AlphaTauri with our parts and components on it." As far as I'm concerned, crack on, Red Bull. The more competitive cars that are in the field with decent drivers and young drivers coming through for the back, the better the actual championship's going to be. And if Racing Point copy, then let them all copy. We've spoken about this so many times before. I'd rather have Haas, Williams and Alfa Romeo up there in a midfield battle with other teams with 0.3 seconds between them all and then what against similar and cars.
And let the drivers make the defining difference.
Yeah.
Give them all the same car. Give them all the same engine. Yeah. Give them all the same stuff, and then they can't complain that somebody's got something different to them. It'll help with the budget cap because they can really bring it back down.
Yep.
And then it's down to the driver, and the driver can show their skills, not somebody sat with a computer saying, "Hang on, if you lean to the left by 3 degrees, it'll make you go 0.001% faster." You know, I mean, come on. Let's get back to racing, not flipping simulators, specialists, you know.
I'm quite surprised. There will be people that actually are listening to the podcast, watch the video, read the news, that think, "Oh, this is terrible, this copying row." But it's been in the sport since it started. In the 70s, they were copying the Lotuses, and there was guys moving between teams and just taking his design with them and reproducing it. This is nothing new. But because there's so much money involved now, and it's sour grapes to half of these teams, Renault especially. Renault, you've got this bigger budget. Go and copy Mercedes if that's what it takes for you to be competitive. If you can't do the work, then go and copy it and then actually be in the same situation. It's just...
But they do. That's what they do. They watch everybody, and whoever's out at the front, they go, "Hang on, they've got a left fin that bends to the left. Hang on, we'll just try that."
Or these teams wind up copying.
Yeah, fins
exactly. Yeah. Double diffusers, Jesus. The thing is, Derek, do you think the FIA's maybe been a bit more lenient because the FIA were involved in the process of the rest of the car being produced?
Yes.
And all of that's been fine.
Yes, they haven't tried to do it underhanded. They haven't sneaked in and gone, "Right, we're just going to do this." They've gone to the FIA. They've gone to them and said, "We're going to do this. Is that okay?" The FIA said, "Yeah, go for it. Knock yourself out."
Yeah.
And now they're having to backpedal because Renault are saying, "No, I'm going to take me back to Bolo."
Yeah.
And now Ferrari have joined in. Now McLaren have joined in. And Red Bull.
Yeah.
You know,
I get that there's possibly some murky waters in there where Racing Point in America have maybe transferred information that maybe makes it slightly unfair. But we go back to the original argument. Racing Point are still 1.4 seconds off Mercedes in last year's car.
Yeah.
If anything, it's made this season better because we've now got a midfield of three or four teams that are fighting it out. So Yes. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. We could talk about it for hours on end, and if we had the history books, that we would see that it's not the first time a team's copied another team.
Or the last time.
No, and it won't be. I mean, I bet if Ferrari could get a hold of Merck's engine, they would copy the crap out of that. Yeah, I wish Haas and Alfa and Williams were copied. And then these other teams would be struggling because they've probably got decent racers in there. It would make all the difference. Anyway, Derek, qualifying tomorrow at 2:10, the kickoff of the qualifying.
Yes.
Silverstone again. I suspect we'll see a similar setup on the grid to last week. Hopefully Russell can perform well and not overtake under double yellows, and we'll actually be in Q2 again and be in a sustained position. Then we'll see how it goes to the race. I can't wait. Yeah. I think last weekend was a great race. A lot of people said it was boring, but I thought the midfield battle made it worth watching.
The midfield battle's great, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll see how many people queue up at the steward's office after the race to
moan
and groan and, you know, we'll see.
And if you want to get in touch with us on the show, you can email the show at dnf1podcast@gmail.com. We also have dnf1podcast.co.uk, and that's our YouTube channel. And we also have beardcat.com for all our merchandise, track art, mugs, t-shirts, a whole host of things, all worth having a look at. Right, well, folks, 2:10 tomorrow, qualifying tomorrow, Q1, 2 and 3. We'll see how that pans out. And we hope that you can join us tomorrow with the podcast and the YouTube video. Remember, like and subscribe, and we can maybe get some numbers on the board. That's pretty much it, Derek. All I can say is it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Take care. We'll see you again. Stay safe.
This has been a Beardy Cat production for DNF1.